This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. A Supreme Court case, 303 Creative versus Elanis, argued before the court orally and with the decision expected late spring, early summer. I welcome Daniel Henniger, the deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, who writes his column Wonderland. And we begin with the discussion of the Supreme Court and this case that is being pending by the justices, which I understand can easily turn on freedom of speech. And that takes us to the question of speech today in the 21st century. And is it uncensored? Is it free speech? Dan, a very good evening to you. Please help me understand the connection between 303 Creative before the courts and this term hate speech, which I read routinely. Good evening to you.
Hi there, John. Well, 303 Creative, of course, is about a woman in Colorado named Lori Smith, a designer of websites for weddings, who declined to design one for a same-sex marriage. And that, in Colorado's view, put her in violation of their anti-discrimination law. And she has taken her case to the Supreme Court, saying that as an evangelical Christian, she is entitled to the protection of the first, entitled to the First Amendment's protections of speech and religious belief. What Colorado is arguing essentially is that the anti-discrimination law takes precedence over her free speech rights. And what I'm raising in my column is an issue I think that the left is pushing ever harder in our time, is that free speech rights, which are really the foundation of the Bill of Rights and unique to the United States. People think they are able to express opinions on virtually anything. The left, the progressives, increasingly have the view that anti-discrimination laws should trump the free speech rights in the United States. And so that laws against discrimination by race, color, creed, gender, gender preferences, and so forth, their belief is one should not be able to express any opinion one has on those subjects because it is hateful. In their mind, raises the possibility of violence being committed against people. And that term violence is important because one thing that's not protected by the First Amendment is incitements to violence. And so they are basically commingling the broader notion of violence with hate speech and arguing that anti-discrimination law should suppress that kind of speech. And the danger, of course, is that that will end up suppressing basically opinions, views, dissents that they find in opposition to their worldview. In other words, censorship.
You cite Justice Robert Jackson from the 1940s talking about that the government can't compel, coerce an individual to adopt the majority's opinion. But isn't that exactly what's going on these days, Dan? We're being coerced to say one thing only and not to deviate?
That's exactly what is happening. Justice Jackson called this prohibition on coerced speech a fixed star in our constitutional constellation. Well, it isn't as fixed as it used to be. Clearly, people are being intimidated, and a lot of it is being done through social ostracism. I mean, the left's playbook here is to simply make certain views, certain opinions that seem socially unacceptable. And I think it has clearly been a strategy. I mean, I cited, for instance, Justice Anthony Kennedy, who wrote the deciding opinion in this same-sex marriage decision 2015, Obergefell, in which he said anybody of religious conviction, it should not make no mistake that if you have religious convictions on a subject like same-sex marriage, you will continue to be able to advocate those views. Well, you know, the 2015 Obergefell same-sex marriage decision, it was controversial, but there was a sense in which many Americans, possibly most Americans, agreed with the decision that same-sex marriages deserve constitutional protection. The striking thing is, John, it could not have been more than I would say even 2 months after the Obergefell decision, when suddenly the left elevated the idea of transgenderism and this multiplicity of pronouns. And I think most people would have thought, gee, that Obergefell decision was an extraordinary victory for progressives to get same-sex marriage protected by the Constitution. And all of a sudden, they're pushing it into the realm of transgender preferences. And even today, as I'm suggesting, ostracizing anybody who is critical of the idea. In other words, suppressing speech, opinion, and thought on ideas that are simply uncongenial to them.
If I read you correctly, this now extends into science. So it's not about hate speech anymore. It's about misinformation, disinformation. Science, as you write, is about debate, not about certainty.
Yeah, and, you know, in the areas I've been talking about, the buzzwords are hate or violence. Here it is, quote unquote, settled science. How much of that do you recall we went through during the COVID pandemic? The idea that policies on lockdowns, on masks, and even on vaccinations, or at least later with the currently with the bivalent vaccines, that this is all settled science. And when a large group of scientists got together and produced something called the Great Barrington Declaration, taking direct dissent from the idea that we had to have these extreme lockdowns, especially with kids in schools, Anthony Fauci and the director of the National Institutes of Health, Francis Collins, got together to place articles in the press undermining, attacking, and criticizing the Great Barrington Declaration. Scientists, medical specialists who held those views were simply pushed outside the COVID debate. And it's very troubling. It was very troubling in the last 2 years to see medicine and science becoming as politicized as they have become to suppress scientific dissent. We're in trouble if we allow that to succeed.
Dan, is it your measure that this is generally understood going in a bad direction, or is there naivete about what this happens? What goes around comes around is what I'm getting to, Dan. When you shut one side down, soon enough, you're going to be shut down.
Well, you know, that's certainly true. I mean, we have seen, especially on campuses, liberal professors who teach classes and are talking. I mean, a professor, by definition, teaches a class for 60 minutes, 90 minutes. They're talking the entire time, talking about literature, and they have said a wrong phrase or something that offends somebody, students sitting out there in that audience, and they're called to account. And do they get defended by the liberals running the universities or their progressive colleagues? No, they do not. They often lose their jobs because they have simply said something that offends a progressive view of acceptable speech. So, no, by no means is it going in a good direction. And yes, they will eat their own if necessary to put these ideas firmly in place.
Finally, the 303 creative case. How do you expect that to go, Dan? Do you have a guess in the springtime?
Yeah, I think it is undoubtedly going to be a 6-3 decision in favor of Lori Smith and her ability, protection under the First Amendment to express a religious belief. That this court, I think, undoubtedly will go in that direction. Problem I raise in the column is, it's good. I mean, in that case, you're defended against a public institution like a state, a locality, or the federal government. But in the private sector, this isn't going in the wrong direction towards suppression of opinions like Lori Smith's.
Dan Henniger, Deputy Editor, Editorial Page, Wall Street Journal. I'm John Lynch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.